This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a great CEO. We've got Pete Delgado with us on the podcast. Pete is the CEO of Salinas Valley Memorial Hospital and Memorial Healthcare. We're going to talk about the system, his leadership journey, and more. Peter, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
My name is Pete Delgado, and I live in Monterey, California. And I'm the CEO, President and CEO of Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare System.
And can you take a moment and tell us about the things you're most proud of related to the health system? Tell us a couple things that you gleam with pride about.
Related to my healthcare system, we had a very good and challenging time turning this organization behind. I came here when the hospital was in trouble. They had 30 days of cash. They were trying to sell the hospital. They couldn't find a buyer. And the union, and there was protests. There was a layoff of about 140 people. And it was not a good time to be a CEO. And so I put together a dynamic team, and we were able to, in the last 5-6 years, turn this around. We had 4 doctors in our clinics, and now we have over 150. We're doing about 350 or 325 in revenue. Now it's $650 million in revenue. So we've kind of turned this around and recruited some folks that had the ability to execute correctly, and I'm real proud of our journey here.
And talk a little bit about the pieces of advice that you would have for other leaders. You've had this great success there. You've had great success in your career. Talk about 2 or 3 pieces of advice that you would have for other leaders.
Well, I guess I can articulate some of the things that have worked in my career. The hospitals are only work with physicians. I'm not a physician. I can't admit someone and discharge. It's a physician, so you have to build a very strong alignment with the docs. I call this organization a physician-driven organization. I want to see and hear the voice of the physicians in all of our committees and decisions. And so, you know, this is a quasi-public entity, a hospital district, and so we have board members. We have 5 board members, elected board members from the community, and then they run committees. And so I brought in physicians in those committees to make sure that our physicians have a voice, and we've done that pretty good. Our physicians feel heard, and they feel they have a say and influence the organization. And so that's a real good step when you're trying to help a medical community or engage the medical community. As I shared with you, we had only 4 doctors. Now I have over 150 doctors in my medical clinic because they trust and they feel that they are part of the organization and you know, trust that we will listen to them and they have an input in the decision around here. Second thing is that, you know, the success of an organization financially or in some of the metric depends on the engagement of your workforce. So we set out to winning the hearts and minds of our employees early on. We went out of our way to recognize individuals. We made sure that we gave our managers and directors the training they need to be able to help coach, mentor, promote, advocate employees for their employees. and how to have a conversation. You know, not everyone is suited for organizations. Sometimes you have to deal with a bad apple, and there's a way to do that, you know, in a respectful way. We were able to develop what they call the STAR values. Supporting each other, that's an acronym, STAR. Supporting each other, working as a team, being accountable, and respecting each other. And we use that values for evaluating people's behavior. So when you're a respiratory therapist, and you could be seeing the right number of patients, and your quality metrics are hit, you're hitting it, but if you are not representing in your behaviors those STAR values, you're going to be coached. And if you're still not getting it, you may lose your job because your behavior doesn't line up with the values. It's a number of folks that have had to leave the organization because they just couldn't fit. And the message has been embraced by the employees, and I think it took us a while, but I think that now, you know, if I feel very confident that we have the ability to get things done through our employees because they trust us and they feel like they can work in this environment safely and collaboratively and using the values of the organization.
Pete, can you take a moment? You've done a great job turning around this health system that you've worked before in Texas and California. You know, it obviously in the summertime, probably better to be in California than in Texas.
But
talk a little bit about your leadership journey and how you got to where you are and how your career developed and transpired.
Well, I've had... as I shared with my medical staff and my employees, and you know, it doesn't matter. I've worked in several hospitals, for-profit, non-profit, religious hospitals. I worked for Kaiser Permanente. I worked for a public county hospital. Every hospital, it's the same. You have to have more revenue than expenses. It's a very difficult concept. It's hard to get it. You may want to write it down. I'm just kidding you. I'm just playing with you. It is no margin, no mission. And so it doesn't matter what kind of a hospital. You need to be able to replace equipment, promote employees, give them raises. And you've got to have money in the bank to be able to, like, again, replenish the supplies, et cetera. And so, you know, that's the first thing.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, revenue's got to beat expenses. And for all the discussion out there and all the soft things and everything else, if you can't do that, you can't invest in greatness, you can't employ great people, you can't build great teams, you can't build a great physician force, you can't build a great workforce, great nursing team, everything, unless you actually have enough revenues to beat expenses.
That is correct. And, you know, when I came here, we had to circle the wagons. We had to bend the cost curve. Once we were able to generate more revenue than expenses, then you can start building the culture that you want to have. That's going to continue building the market, building your services. We wanted to address there was an access problem here. Number one, community health need in this county, in the Monterey County, was access to primary care. And so we went after it. We started recruiting physicians and specialists, and as a result, we were able to move the needle, building the alignment with our docs, generating the revenues, getting more revenue than expenses. And so, yes, that's a very, very simple principle. You got to have more revenue than expenses. And I use that as a motto for our committee. I say it as often as I can.
Thank you. And talk about right now and sort of fighting through the COVID era and more and taking care of your workforce. What are your top 2 to 3 priorities for the rest of this year?
Well, you know, we took a we were like most organizations when the governor issued the order of no elective surgeries. That's your bread and butter. And so our revenues, just like many hospitals, went down, and the volume of activity went down. So I had about 200 employees that that I didn't have work for. But I did not want to lay them off or furlough them because there wasn't any jobs out there in the community. So what we did, we created a community support program, and it's a labor pool of about 200 employees. And so we use those employees both in the community and other things. And if you wanted to work, we will keep you, and you will do either running for supplies or helping a nonprofit organization. In our case, there was a big need in the ag industry. You know, the Monterey is the it is the salad bowl of the world. You know, the ag industry is pretty big here. And
garlic and shallots, right? Both garlic capital of the world, shallot capital of the world, and a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. And during the harvest season, they bring in about 50,000 to 75,000 harvesters from all over the world to come here to pick, cut, and whatever vegetables and process and all that. And so it was a big problem because these folks are coming from all over the world, and they live in tight conditions. It's like a little Manhattan. Everybody living on top of each other, and it was a perfect breeding ground for the virus, for the COVID. And so we deployed. We brought all the ag industry. I wanted to make sure they understood the problem that we have, and that if we offered help, and they took it up. And we're sending our nurses out to the fields, educating the folks about the virus and how to keep themselves safe at work and at home. Nurses were out in the field around 6 o'clock in the morning, as well as some of the plants. And you know, I think they saw about 15 to 16 companies and over 11,000 individuals to date, right? And so that was a very we were happy to do that. And even though the hospital is getting busy again, there's still a need out there, and I'm trying to keep them out there educating the farm workers. We also have, on those individuals that have the virus, the ag industry have access to a couple of hotels, and they put the individuals that have the virus there to quarantine. And so we go check them twice a day. There's usually about 40 or 50 individuals. Now it's probably closer to 100, but we started off, there was about 40 or 50, and I have a couple of nurses going there in the morning and the afternoon, checking their temperature, making sure that they are progressing. If they're getting sick, we encourage them, and we call the ambulance, or we encourage them to come back to the hospital and see somebody. Yeah. So that's one project that I think I'm very proud of, that we've been able to not only keep our employees employed, but also do a benefit in the community, from the homeless, Dorothy's Dorothy's Place. These are all nonprofit organizations calling seniors, making sure that they have a network of folks that are taking care of them. There's a number of seniors that live by themselves, and we don't want them to be going without food. And yeah, so we had a lot of work in the community. I was quite surprised at the amount of work that came once we opened the door. And our employees, they really appreciated the fact that they weren't laid off. They were doing some work outside of their skill set. They were doing, but I was paying them their hourly rate. That if you were a nurse, it didn't matter, or you were a clerk, it didn't matter. We paid you your hourly rate. So that's one thing that I'm pretty proud of. And our employees are now back at work because the volume has picked up, I don't know if we have anybody in the labor pool now because everybody's working right now.
Well, that's fantastic. Pete, I want to thank you for all your work. What an amazing job you've done helping to turn around Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare, and more so, taking care of your physicians, taking care of your team, and taking care of the community. I know that you deal with a lot of the farm laborers and so forth, and you've done really a great job of trying to provide the best care possible for that employee base, for that population base, and that community. Pete Delgado, Salinas Valley Memorial Healthcare, what a pleasure to visit with you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.